This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shikhar Janand and today I have with me a very special guest, Shankar Sharma, who is a co-founder and vice chairman at First Global. Well, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Sharma.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Right. The first question, Mr. Sharma, I want to put it across to you is that, how important is global portfolio diversification for investors? You know, this is one theme that has, in fact, that is fast catching up with Indian investors as well. But it is hardly understood by investors. Some would probably buy a global ETF and feel that, you know, the job is done. But it is a complicated process. What would you advise to listeners?
Yes, so this whole thing was actually started back in November when I addressed a conference in Mumbai where I gave the data that for the last 10 years, Indian investors have made zero returns in dollar terms. And that is what set the cat among the pigeons because nobody had ever told Indian investors how badly off they were. And the data is very clear that if you invested $100 in the Sensex 10 years back, it is worth maybe $110 today, which is virtually zero return over 10 years. While globally, it would have given you 2.5 times. So the point is, it has to be a part of your portfolio to diversify out of a single country, single currency, single asset risk, which is called SCARS. We call it SCARS. If you want to avoid SCARS, you need to diversify. But it has to be done very, very intelligently and very, very selectively because just going and buying, let's say, a NASDAQ ETF is not the solution because NASDAQ has done well only in the last 12 or 18 months. Right. But if you see the data, every year, some different market outperforms. So last year, it was not NASDAQ. It was actually Russia, which was up 48%. NASDAQ was up only 30%. So the point is, you have to have diversification. Buying a single country ETF is actually going to lead you to bigger problems because suppose that, you know, that one market, which is hot today, stops being hot tomorrow.
Yes.
What happens to you then? Or for example, let us say global equities tank. What happens? Are you in US treasuries also, which will actually go up when global equities will tank? So the point is you need to be diversified globally across markets, across asset classes, across currencies in order to have genuine diversification. And you can't do it on your own. Let's be very clear about it. It has taken us 25 years to understand this. It is not just a simple walk in the park. So there are ways to be, you know, it can be done, but definitely not just going and opening an account and trading foreign stocks or buying a single country feeder fund or an ETF because they all do not give you diversification at all.
Right. In fact, you touched upon the topic of SCARS and we'll just elaborate further. As you rightly pointed out that Indian market has not done much in dollar terms, say, you know, in the last 10 years. And if investors are not diversified globally, they will suffer SCARS. And that is actually single country, single currency, single asset risk. Can you help us understand this concept a little further?
Okay, so you have got your investment. You're an Indian resident. You've got investments only in India, whether you got real estate or you got equities or fixed deposits, etc. Now, suppose the rupee tanks and it has been, you know, falling for the last several years, right?
Right.
You had to be exposed to a world which is basically a dollarized world. Everywhere you go, the US dollar is the standard. Everything is measured against the US dollar as a standard. You are exposed to only a single country. All your eggs are in one basket and that basket has some problem. Economic recession, currency fall, many problems can happen in a country. You're suddenly left with no leg to stand on. So you need to diversify out of a single country, single asset risk. Go outside, but do it correctly. It is a very, very difficult thing. Just don't just think it. If think about it, nobody has made money in India, even professional fund managers. What makes you think you are just going to walk out and make money globally? It is a very difficult thing. There's so many factors, millions of factors across affecting every market, affecting companies, affecting economies. So it has to be done very, very carefully. I'm just reiterating that. I don't want anybody to think that it's just a walk in the park. It is not.
All right. I'm sure our listeners have understood it, that it has to be done in a careful manner. And Mr. Sharma, you've got two global funds and, they've been marked outperformers since inception. So what is the strategy that you're following?
So we have two fund products. And by the way, these are all in-house managed.
Right.
Because we have the in-house expertise and we have developed it, like I said, over 25 years of global investments. Mm-hmm. I bought Amazon in 2001. I bought Apple in 2002, personally speaking. Mm-hmm. I bought Netflix in 2010. We have done this a long time. We bought, you know, Chinese companies about 4 years back. So, you know, we have done this a long time. We have made mistakes. We have learned. These products were launched about, you know, between 1 and 5 years back. And there are thousands of Indian investors now in these products, as well as foreign investors, non-residents, foreign citizens, okay, all kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And we have total of more than like, you know, $500 million in these products now. Mm-hmm. And the strategy is, again, it's not a single country fund. So, for example, right now our asset allocation is that we have gold, we have oil, yeah, we have investment grade bonds, we have, yeah, emerging market sovereign debt, which is dollars,
okay,
and we have equities, which is roughly right now 75-78%, of which US is around 40%, China is about 18%. We have Switzerland, we have UK, you know, we have Taiwan, we have South Korea, we have Japan. You see the point I'm making, it's a diversified to the best opportunities in the world right now.
Right.
So we are not exposed only to NASDAQ. If NASDAQ falls, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If NASDAQ is not the only game in town. For yes. example, even this year, Taiwan has done better than most of the US indexes.
Yes.
Far better. We have Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So we follow a tactical asset allocation approach in which we are not exposed or overexposed to a single market, or a single currency, or a single asset. We diversify to the best opportunities available at that point in time. That is our central mantra.
Right. And in fact, well said. And in one of your interviews, you highlighted the thumb rule on investing. And you said that if there's one god in investing, it is risk management. You know, and I think apart from asset allocation, investors should pay attention to this rule as well, and should not overlook it at any point in time. So how do you manage yes. risk when the market has, you know, run ahead of fundamentals?
So I'll give you live examples. This year is the best year in 10 years for anybody to understand the value of risk management, right?
Absolutely.
Because
Absolutely.
Usually we forget these things. When, you know, when markets are good, we tend to say, oh, this is all very, very, you know, vague stuff. Why bother about risk management? Markets only go up all the time.
Yes.
The reality is this year we have seen, and, you know, in our global portfolios as well as our India PMSs, in the month of February, there was enough evidence that there is some kind of problem building up. Yeah. What we did was we basically then moved, we trimmed our positions, we tightened our risk management. When the market fell, we also took a hit. You know, everybody take a hit. Yeah. But we were down only 3 or 5 or 6% versus the market was down 30%. Now, moment you were down only 5-7%, which is peanuts, really speaking.
Right.
When the markets recovered, we were back again into positive territory. So both our global products and India products are now up for the year between 5 and 25% up mm-hmm. in a year in which markets are still down. That mm-hmm. is the value of risk management. Because mm-hmm. if you had 100 rupees, you're down 30%, for example. So right. you have 70 rupees. 70. Now the markets have to recover 50% for you to come back to 100 rupees,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, in a normal situation, you will take 2 years to come back to where you were 2 years back. Mm-hmm. While if you had managed risk prudently, you will be up in no time because you haven't lost so much money when the markets were tanking.
Mm-hmm.
This year is a great year. It's like a laboratory where you have, it's like a classroom. You've learned the lesson of risk management. And that is the reason why in our global products, we have delivered 21% CAGR over in dollar terms over the last 5 years. That is one of the major reasons that we avoid the big falls. When you avoid the big falls mm-hmm. and the markets are then running up, you participate. It yes. comes down to something as simple as that. It is not that simple to practice, but mm-hmm. it is at the core of it. It is what it is. Avoid big mistakes, avoid big losses, whether in India or globally. So if you're just going to go out and buy NASDAQ and NASDAQ tanks 20%, you're finished. You're mm-hmm. gone. But if you have gotten into something which is giving you exposure across the world into different asset classes, if one market falls, doesn't matter. Something else will compensate for it.
Right.
That is the meaning of global diversification. It is not just buying a single market, single ETF, mm-hmm. single country fund. And by the way, the other thing is important that a feeder fund, for example, doesn't manage the money, you know, themselves. They give it to somebody sitting in New York and London. What if that guy, you know, screws it up? Who are you going to catch? The point is, you have to go with people who are sitting right here. You can mm-hmm. talk to people, right? What is the strategy? What are you doing about it? Many of our investors send us queries. You know that why are we holding this stock, or why do we? If we are not doing it ourselves, what answer are we going to give them, right? So don't just go out and swing your bat because swinging bat will often make a six, but it'll often get you out very quickly.
Well, rightly said, Mr. Sharma. In fact, the two mantras that investors have to really understand is global diversification and effective risk management. I mean, both things go hand in hand. And probably the last question I want to put it across to you is that, so far in 2020, we've seen small and mid-cap stocks have effectively, or you could say, outperformed relatively the benchmark indices. So what is sort of driving the rally in the broader market, especially in the penny stock segment?
Right. So, for this, again, go back to 2017, which was a great year for mid-cap or other small caps in India.
Golden era.
It was a huge year. Uh-huh. And everybody then went into 2018 thinking that it is going to be a repeat. And it was a terrible year. And 2019 was also a very, very terrible year for this strata of the market.
Yes.
So, therefore, the small caps were from the peak to the term of March this year, they were down nearly 50%. I mean, that's let's say the BSE index. Mm-hmm. Because 50% at some point will rally 10, 20, 30%. It has to, right? Mm-hmm. That is that rally. There are so many stocks in the mid-cap, small-cap spaces, which are trading at book value. They have got decent businesses. Even with the COVID, they will still have reasonable numbers. Mm-hmm. And they're trading at 4P, 5P, 6P, at trading at book value. They're paying out dividends. Market is beginning to recognize value in those because the larger cap companies have been hit more badly in this COVID crisis. You know, a bank has been badly hit, an auto has been badly hit, the capital goods has been badly hit, right? But the small cap doing a small business, while they are hit, but not as badly as a large company, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So the market is beginning to recognize that part of it. That's why small caps are doing well.
Right, well, rightly said. And thank you, Mr. Sharma, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Shitish.